NMLS number 65084, equal housing lender. Woo!
The 5-star reviews are in and it's confirmed. SaveWithConrad.com can save you thousands. Jimmy E writes that we saved his family more than $1,000 a month. James S says we saved his family more than $1,200 a month. But how much can you save? It's free to find out right now at SaveWithConrad.com. But if you've got a second mortgage, if you've got credit card debt, or even worse, if you're in a 30-year loan, it's not a matter of if we can save you money, but a matter of how much at SaveWithConrad.com. Hey, it's Conrad Thompson here to tell you a little bit about AdFreeShows.com. People often ask me, what exactly is AdFree Shows all about? Well, I'm glad you asked. Not only do you get early ad-free access to all of my podcasts starting at just $9, but you also get many of your other favorite wrestling podcasts like Click This with Kevin Nash, Gentleman Villain with William Regal, Oh, You Didn't Know with Brian James, and others. But yes, still just $9 a month. That's 14 podcasts in total every single week, early with no ads. That's like 20 cents an episode. And yes, you can listen to them all directly through Apple Podcasts or through your regular podcast apps. How easy is that? Want some more cheese on that Whopper? AdFreeShows.com has literally tens of thousands of hours worth of bonus content, including fantastically popular series like Eric Fires Back, Title Chase, and Strictly Business. And I don't know why this is a thing, there's even more than 40 Ask Conrad episodes waiting for you at AdFreeShows.com. We've got monthly Zoom chats with all the podcast hosts, live watch-alongs with wrestling legends, and more. Come on now. See for yourself what thousands of other wrestling fans have already discovered. That's AdFreeShows.com. It's the best value in wrestling today. Check it out right now. AdFreeShows.com. You'll be glad you did.
Woo Wings, a virtual restaurant concept from the man himself, the nature boy, Ric Flair. Enjoy the legendary flavors and world championship wings by ordering with your Uber Eats or Postmates app. Woo Wings is now open in Nashville, San Antonio, Jacksonville, Florida, as well as Huntsville and Tuscaloosa in Alabama, with many more locations coming soon. Try the only chicken wings worthy of carrying the name of the 16-time world heavyweight champion. Tell them, Nate.
Wings! Legendary flavors, world championship wings. Woo! Woo Wings! Yeah! Woo woo!
Recognized symbol of excellence in sports entertainment.
Hey, this is Kurt Angle, and welcome to the Kurt Angle Show. On the show today, we'll be talking to a fellow world champion, but before we get to him, let me introduce to you my co-host, Paul Bromwell. How you doing today, Paul?
Kurt, I'm doing great. Really excited about today. Man, before we jump into that, though, you and I were just together again. I know that's really exciting for you, but we were in Chicago, Top Guy Weekend, man, for ad-free shows. What a blast that we had. And our special guest, Jay Lethal. Man, he told some stories I had never heard before.
Yeah, he had some crazy stories. It was a great turnout. I was really happy with it.
But listen, what I wanted to say is we had over 200 in the audience. It wasn't recorded, but don't worry. Jay has said, hey, I want to come join the Kurt Angle Show officially down the road. So we're going to bring him back, man. I'm excited about that.
But sounds good.
But today we have a superstar. As you said, a world champion, right?
Yeah. I'd like to welcome to the show the Ring of Honor champion. His name is Claudio Castagnoli. That's right, Claudio, or Cesaro, if nobody knows who he is, which that's everybody does. How you doing, Claudio?
Oh, I'm doing great. I'm very excited. I'm very excited to be finally on your show.
Oh, good.
I know it's been a long time coming.
Well, listen, we're going to start then. When you started your journey to America, did you ever expect to see the level of success that you had?
No. It's still crazy to just kind of look back, and see what I achieved. And the fun part about it is there's so many little things. And by little, I don't mean like I would just kind of forget sometimes what a really fun career I'm having. And for example, you and me were in a match together. And for me, that's like huge because, you know, when I started wrestling and before, I like look up to you. And like, I think I told you when I really started training, it was like after I read your book, I was like, all right, yeah, I have to take this a tiny bit more serious. And to just like, you know, share the ring with you for, you know, like, I think it was an 8-man in Minneapolis or something. And like, just to have like, cool, I can tick that off my list. Like, it's just like some really, really cool things that happened that I can think back of and then just like smile. And I never, ever thought I'd make it to that success. To me, making a living just wrestling was going to be a success. I was just like, when I left, I told my friends and family, I was like, I'm going to see after 3 years, like if I survive, if I can still do it, or if I don't like it. And yeah, it's 19 years later or something.
Guess what? You survived.
Yes, I did. Yes, I did.
Claudio, as we start to kind of tell your story a little bit here, what are some of your favorite memories of wrestling? Maybe it was, were you a fan as a child? Did you have a favorite wrestler or not really? And then maybe when you got into it, what was it like as far as wrestling for you prior to the WWE?
I had so many favorites when I first started, when wrestling first came on TV in Switzerland or in Germany, when it was huge, it was, you know, it was Owen Hart, Bret Hart, Steiner brothers. It was right when Lex Luger slammed Yokozuna. It was right around that time, which was awesome. Just it full on, what is it called? The Federation years back then. Yeah. And then, when I got back into it was, the Monday Night Wars. And then, you know, after that again, you know, with Kurt and everybody, because then the wrestling was at such a high level, like the matches you get to see, you got to see on a weekly basis. I feel like it's similar to today where, the level is today and was then at such a high level for each match that you almost take it for granted, and then it kind of went away and you're like, oh, wait a second. You know, so that to me, it's really hard for me to just pick one superstar because there's so many, especially with the national and everything, that I started watching somebody and then I did like a deep dive into them and I just would watch that for forever. So it's just, yeah, I'm just a fan of everything.
Well, listen, was WWE always a goal for you?
See, I never thought I would make it to WWE because when I started, it was so far away, right? It was so obviously larger than life and just insane to think about it. So to me, I was like, okay, first I just wanted to wrestle and wrestle more and then on the indies and then everybody that I knew that was making a living wrestling in England for the like holiday camps and stuff like that, where William Regal started. And then, but I won the green card lottery. So I had the chance to move to the United States. So I was like, okay, I'm going to try that. And even there, I was like, okay, cool. Ring of Honor was getting big at that time. So I was like, okay, that's something that I can do. But again, WWE just seemed so far away until I was like just thinking about my career and everything. And I was like, the next logical step would be to try to get into WWE. And that's in 2011 when it kind of ended up working out. But to me, it was obviously always a goal, but when I first started for the first long time, I was like, I don't know if I would fit or if that would happen or if I would be good enough or whatever it may be, you know?
Yeah, no, that makes complete sense. But I got to ask you, though, because our audience may not be aware of this. You were actually signed to a developmental deal in 2006. It never came to pass, though. What do you remember of all that?
It was just a big whirlwind because I got signed and then released within like a month. I was going to move to OVW at the end of 2007. But then just got a right after I canceled all my indie bookings and everything, I got the call. I was like, yeah, it's not going to work out. And I'm like, okay. So on a positive note, I still got paid. And I remember, you know, for like the 3 months or whatever it is, and I got to keep the moving bonus. So I was able, you know, like I was living off ramen noodles and chicken nuggets. So I was able to afford a hamburger helper every now and again. And yeah. I got like an old Saturn, like a car, that drove me around a bit. So I was happy. And looking back, honestly, it was probably for the better because, you know, it gave me 4 more years to mature and get better. And I think I was in a much better place in 2010 when I finally went to WWE.
Well, reporting to FCW had to be a big moment for you. Am I correct?
Yes, it was. It was just such a big change, and because it didn't really work out in 2007, I kind of kept it on the down low. Like I always kept a very small circle of friends, and you know, they obviously knew, but I didn't have the big like, hey, I'm going to leave for a WWE match. This is my goodbye speech or whatever. Because I was like, yeah, you know, it didn't really turn out too good before. So I went there and it was cool because that was when Seth Rollins and Jon Moxley were there and they were kind of starting to do their thing. They had like, some matches that started to become available on YouTube and people watching him talking about it. So it was really cool to come in at that time. And there was some tremendous talent down there as well. Just for example, Jason Jordan was down there, and like a lot of other people that you see on TV now. And it was just a very cool, hungry environment to be in.
Our house is a mess. Come on in. I'm Amber Wallen, internet comedian and host of your new favorite podcast, Fly on the Wallen.
Okay, that's pretty presumptuous to assume that this is going to be their favorite podcast, by the way.
Anyway, that wasp that you just heard interrupt me is my husband.
And co-host, Benjamin Wallen.
Listen in as we discuss relationships and keeping our sweet baby kid alive.
Fly on the Wallen, wherever you listen.
Yeah, absolutely. And you now, looking back at it, you were a part of what FCW was then. But to see the developmental system kind of mature and go through what it did and become NXT, the powerhouse brand, and what it became, I'm sure in your mind, you're thinking, man, if I would have been in developmental in those NXT years where they're selling out, you know, 16, 18,000 seat arenas for their takeovers, That would have been something special for you in your career. Do you wish you could have, hey, kind of been a part of that boom back there? Or were you happy, hey, I got my FCW years under my belt and happy to move on to the main roster?
I'm very happy with the way I came up. You know, there's always, you know, like obviously like looking back and now I wish I would have. But, you know, when we were in FCW, it was a warehouse, it was two rings, and there was no air conditioning, so you had to like switch the canvases, open all the doors, and it's Florida, it's hot, so you're just sweating, it's just, you're just in there wrestling, and it was just for the love of it, and you had to have that like grit and just, you know, power through it. There was no glory, so to speak, when you like walk into that warehouse. It was just like, it was a warehouse, you know. It's not the state of the art performance center it is now. It was just like grit and just a bunch of guys trying to get better, trying to prove themselves. And then we used to go to work out with Cena's trainer Rob and just like lift the heavy weights, which I always call like, that was like our muscle beach, the equivalent of like Arnold and his friends workout, because it was just, you know, us just lifting and like trying to motivate each other. And you know, that's when Big E lifted, did that huge bench press and all the stuff that you see, like, you know, in his videos and stuff. So it was a very special place and a very special time that we just all wanted to prove each other. And I kind of was part of the whole boom, because sure, me and Sami Zayn were the first match on the WWE network, on the first ever takeover, if you want to call it that. So I felt like that, sure, I was part of it. And, you know, I'm very proud, because I felt like I never did it really the conventional way. I always try to do it my way, even if that was like the harder way sometimes.
It was always the toughest way. Am I right?
That's
why you're so damn hungry, brother.
I have a problem. If something seems too easy, I'm sometimes like, I don't.
Can't be real.
That's supposed to be easy. What's going on here, you know?
I hear you, man. Listen, when you're brought to the main roster, you're a Swiss militia member turned rugby player. What did you think of that gimmick?
You know, it was kind of brought to me thing. It was like, okay, you're going to be a rugby player. And I was like, oh, okay. First thing I saw was like, okay, how do I make this the best possible? Because I've played rugby once or twice in my life, but you know, you need to make that as convincing as possible. So here I was for like months, just like kicking around rugby balls and like watching every single thing about rugby that I could, you know. But
to me, into the character, huh?
Oh, I was, you know, like watching all the movies. I was watching the Rugby World Cup. I was watching everything. And I've been a fan ever since. You know, it's a great sport and it's a lot of fun to watch. And I just wanted to, that was my chance, you know, and I wanted to take it and I wanted to make it the best I could. I even had a team picked out it was like a French tier two team that I could have referenced, you know what I mean? In case somebody wanted to look it up. So yeah. I was well prepared.
You had proof, huh?
Yeah. You have to. Nowadays, everything is on the internet, you know?
but it's awesome because it's an example of, hey, you were given creative, you embraced it, ran with it, studied it, tried to make the best of it. And so it's just another example of just giving what's assigned to you and doing the best with it. So
yeah, 100%. I feel whenever you get something, you have to make the best. You always have two choices, right? You can make the best out of it, or you can just kind of, I don't know, make not the best out of it. And to me, I was always like under impersonation, like you have to make the best out of it because, I mean, just for my sake, for my mental state, you know, I have to, because even if I make the best out of it, I'll be thinking, oh man, I could have done this better or that better, you know? So no matter what it is, if it's to yodel, I'll try to yodel as good as I can. You know what I mean? It's one of those.
The yodeler. That could have been a gimmick. Hey, listen, before I jump into the next question here that I have, Kurt, I did want to ask you though, while you were down there in developmental, who would you say were probably the biggest helpers or influences for you, Claudio, down there, as far as just in terms of development, whether it's character, wrestler, just guys that you look back and go, man, they were just such awesome influences for me. I'll be forever grateful.
Oh man. I mean, when I was there, Steve Kern, who was Skinner, was kind of running it, and he's awesome because he's been around for a long time and he knew. Yeah. He has so much experience. And then, Bruce Pritchard was like essentially like the head coach, if you want to say, who again, so much. No, sorry. Tom Pritchard.
Dr. Tom.
Dr. Tom. The other Pritchard.
Bruce Pritchard's the bullshitter. Dr. Tom, the trainer.
Dr. Tom, who was absolutely amazing. You know, his knowledge of like the little details and how to get around everything. Ricky Steamboat was there as well. He was a coach. Joey Mercury was there at the time. And of course, I mean, I mentioned him last because he may have one of the biggest influence was, you know, American Dream Dusty Rhodes was there. And like just to have him, like, you know, watch promo class or watch the matches, sit in the office with him and him like booking a show or something like that. It's just, it was amazing. That's why I kept going back to NXT and just hung out with Dusty and watch what he was doing and what he was watching and what he was saying, because I feel like everybody that is there as a coach or a trainer, they have something amazing to contribute, and you can always learn from anybody, you know.
Absolutely.
But that crew was absolutely amazing. You just come there and like from the indies where you kind of have to, you know, every now and again you run into somebody that, you know, has done it all. But mostly it's just bunch of guys trying to figure out how to get better. And then you get there and there's Ricky Steamboat, and I'll see him every day, or Dusty Rhodes, and I could just Tom Pritchard. I can just ask him questions, you know, and it's just, it's amazing, you know? So it was special.
All legends of the business. I just wanted to make sure I kind of wanted to pick your brain on that. Now, listen, you're on the main roster. You're on a hell of an undefeated streak. You became U.S. champion early on. Was it a tough adjusting from, you know, the indies and developmental and now big time WWE? What was that adjustment like?
I think the biggest adjustment, and it's people ask me, what's the biggest difference? It's the machine. It's the machine that's behind you. It's the people that are around you. It's TV, right? There's large arenas with even more people in there, with all the cameras that pick up everything. So nothing, you know, everything has to be perfect. And then, you know, the whole machine behind it makes it just so much bigger. So all of a sudden you're not just visible on a small platform, maybe on DVDs. No, you're, you know, it's broadcasted in over 100 countries, you know, and so many million homes. And it's kind of, you have to prove yourself every single time you step through that curtain. It's not just, oh, I made it, I'm on TV. It's like, no, you have to prove yourself every single time. And that was the big difference and motivating factor still to this day. You know, now in AEW, I feel like the exact same way. It's every single time there's new people watching. There's people who may not know who you are. There's people who are tuning in for the first time. And you always want to make the best first impression you can.
Well, you were an integral part of launching NXT as a big time deal with your matches with Sami Zayn, which we talked about earlier. Looking back, is that a big highlight in your career?
Yes, because again, it's just I'm sure, Kurt, you know, there's always that chip on your shoulder, right? That you wanna prove yourself, you wanna show everybody how good you are. And if you're in the ring with somebody like Sami, who, you know, I wrestled before on the indies, and we kind of had a similar way, you know, to the WWE and like in life. And we had that chance to do it. And it's one of those, like every match, you just want to make it the best as possible. And for us, it was an awesome way to kick off the show, kick off the brand, kick off the network. And luckily I didn't think about it that much back then, because I was like, oh man, I knew it was a huge deal because it was the first, special on the network. But yeah, it's always like you want to kick it off with a banger. And I think we did. And it was very important. It was extremely important to us because, you know, again, we wanted to show everybody how good we are.
Well, let's get into it. Let's talk about the real Americans. You're working with Zeb Coulter, Dutch Mantel, Jack Swagger, who you'll forever be linked with, even when you go face-to-face with them now in AEW ring, the chance start. Were you surprised that they put you guys together as a team initially?
Initially, yeah, because it was kind of odd at first, but then it just clicked, you know. It's one of those. It was like, yeah, I'm real American because I'm living the American dream. You know, I came to this country. I came from, you know, like not much. I made my own way up, but I am living the American dream to this day. So to me, that explained it in my head. And again, it was like one of those, like, make it work. And, you know, Jake is an amazing talent, an amazing amateur wrestler. And just a machine. He's just a machine. So I feel like, I got to push him a bit because, and then, you know, it's kind of like you just make each other better, right? Like I push him a bit, he pushes me, and then we just keep going. And Zeb or Dutch is, again, somebody that has so much knowledge of wrestling and will just give you this little tip here, this little tip there, this little piece of guidance that just makes such a huge difference. And, to this day, you know, me and Jake, yeah, still follows me, you know, we still face each other. And again, when we just fought each other on TV the other day in AEW, it's the people still remember.
Yeah, crowd loves it.
And the crowd loves it. And it's, and we still do the same thing. It's still, we still try to one-up each other. We still try to push each other to the point where it's like, okay, it's good. It's awesome. And he is, I mean, he's in the best shape now, better than ever, right? I think he has another fight soon, actually. So he's been in fighting shape and just tremendous. So it's, again, very inspiring to see. And that's how you want to surround yourself with people who are constantly pushing themselves.
Well, the Cesaro section was one of the first movements by the WWE fans to get a wrestler more notice. When you saw the signs the first couple of times, what ran through your mind?
Well, I think the first time they were out was in, it was in San Jose. And I think there were over 10,000 because somebody posted the actual number of signs he had printed. And it was some staggering number. It was over 10,000, which has to be a record. It has to be a record.
Definitely a record.
Here's the thing, even if it was 1,000 or 2,000, it was like, it's insane. I remember it was a Miz TV and with Kevin Owens and Miz, and I walked out and I looked around and they were everywhere, like everywhere. So even if it was 1,000, let's just say 1,000, because I don't want to say 10,000 that it wasn't. If I say 1,000 that it was more, that's cool. But it was so many. They were everywhere. And I was just, I didn't know what to say. And that was now, like, it's one of those, like, looking back, I wish I would have acknowledged it more, you know, because I was flabbergasted. It was amazing. And it was something that, that I will forever appreciate. And I never took for granted, because it was something that was just done by the fans for me. And it's something amazing.
It's really cool because it just shows how appreciated you were by the fans. Whether or not you were getting the push or whatever the case may be, the fans knew what we had in Cesaro at the time.
You know what? Our fans are smart. They're definitely smart. And they knew that you were one of the best wrestlers the roster. And that's why they got behind you, my friend.
That's right.
Thank you, Kurt.
Well, listen, things start really going your way because you win the Andre the Giant Battle Royal. You're saluted by Hulk Hogan himself. They put you with Paul Heyman. You got to be thinking at this point, buddy, here we go. I'm ready to go now. They got all the steam behind me. What were you thinking as all this started happening for you?
Definitely everything was going really well. I was trying to enjoy the moment and, get ready for whatever's next and just keep proving myself because, I don't try to take anything for granted and I never expect, of course you were hoping and you were imagining where it could go, but you also know that you just have to keep working as hard as you can. You can never start to coast or anything like that. So, I was obviously extremely happy, like the Andre the Giant Memorial Battle Royal win was, you know, one of the coolest moments in my career. Just because when I looked around afterwards, it was all the, you just see like all the international flags throughout the arena, like everybody holding them up, because I felt like that was my connection with all the international fans and everybody. And that was a really, really cool moment. And then afterwards, you know, with, like you said, like the pairing with Paul Heyman and everything, you were like, okay, here we go. This could be it. Yeah.
Well, any truth to the rumor that they asked you to stop using the swing when you were a heel because they thought it was a babyface move?
There was a couple of times where I was advised maybe not to use the swing here and there because, you know, it did get a really, really, really good reaction, and it still does because it's really fun to see. I feel like the swing is something. You know, when you watch like movies and like superheroes do it, or like, you know, they just like, it's something that's like, you can do to your kid or whatever. And then,
and then
your kid grows up and you can't do it anymore.
I don't mean to cut you off, but the thing is, not everybody can do that. You're like one of the very few people. And that's what people take notice and say, this is special. This is something really cool.
You said superhero movie, and I think that you look like a superhero doing it. That's why.
Yeah, well, thank you. So to me, that was the thing. It's like, that's something that, like, if you experience it in real life, you just go like, holy, this is amazing. It's cool. It's something that people want to see. So that's why it gets cheered and gets the reaction it does.
All right, let's talk about it. They've called him the Advocate. They've called him, I think they call him now the Wise Man. It's Paul Heyman. So why did it only last for a few months? Can you share with us kind of what the thinking was behind all that and then you two parting ways?
I mean, I think Paul, I'm not exactly sure, but I think Paul said once that they just needed somebody to go out and talk about Brock Lesnar breaking the streak. And they needed a reason for Paul to go out there. So I was there with him for him to go out there and then talk about me and then talk about Brock. And then I think right before Brock got back, we kind of got split up again. So I think that was that, if my memory serves me right there.
I mean, I got to imagine you would have loved to have been able to kind of keep him as a mouthpiece. Did it matter to you, or do you, cause I mean, man, he knows what he's doing with the microphone.
I mean, yeah, but you know, to me, it's kind of, again, what we talked about before, you have to make the best of every situation. And that was one thing that, like, would have loved to keep him as a mouthpiece. Just seeing at the success that, you know, he's had, of course, but those were not the cards that I was dealt. So I was trying to make the best of what's next.
Well, when Vince McMahon said on Steve Austin's podcast that you may not have the it factor, what did you think of that when you heard?
I think it's really hard to see what the it factor is, because the it factor for everybody is different, right? And for you, the it factor is something different than it is for me. So, you know what I mean? Like, I was like, obviously, it was like, well, there's, like, we talked about it before with this Cesaro section and at the Honor of the Giant Memorial Battle Royal. And even after that, the fans clearly kind of respond to me in a certain way that, okay, maybe, you know, like, obviously you want to prove him wrong and you want to do everything you can to be like, no, actually there is something there. It's just something maybe different, you know? So to me, it's just kind of like there's different it factors. I feel like for different people, some people have that over the top, huge, like charisma. Other people kind of have the more chilled, laid back charisma. There's some people that are, you know, larger than life, and you immediately go like, whoa, when you see them. And there's some people that just have to work for a long time to, you know, prove their longevity and their quality and everything. So I feel like I'm maybe in that category that it takes a little bit longer, but then people will notice.
Yeah, and that's where I was going to go next, Claudio, was, did you feel like you were in a position where, hey, I'm just going to constantly always try to prove myself. I'm going to prove the office wrong and whatever it takes, I'm willing to put the work in, the effort in order to do that. Is that your mindset?
100%, 100%. To me, you know, there's certain people that are picked and they're going to be successful rather quick. That doesn't mean that has nothing to do if they are of course they're really good and of course they're deserve of that, like they deserve that position, but there's, for certain people, it just takes a little bit longer. And for me, I always thought, okay, if it takes longer for me, that is fine. I'll just keep working harder and harder than, you know, anybody else, or like hard as I can, because I think it's always fun when people say like they're working harder than everybody else. And I'm like, you have no clue how hard other people work. You know, it's like one of those. It's like, I just work as hard as I can and do the best that I can. And if that's enough, then great. And if not, then I'll keep working, you know?
Your tag team with Tyson Kidd was such a joy to watch as you guys just focused on wrestling. And you had some great, incredible tag team matches. How good is Tyson?
Oh, man, he's amazing. He is so good. And unfortunately, people will probably never saw his full potential. But I'm very happy that he's using his genius now to help other people and, you know, help make wrestling a better place for everybody. And it was so fun teaming with him because it was one of those, like, we were on the same page from the second we stepped out of the curtain. Even though we barely talked beforehand, and then we traveled together, we worked out together, shared hotel rooms and locker rooms and everything. And it just clicked, and we are still really good friends. And he is just, he's such a student of the game. Like, he watches everything, and he has a memory like nobody else. Like, he remembers dates, he remembers matches, moves, sequences, everything. And it's an absolute blast. It was an absolute blast being in the ring with him because it just clicked. We had to talk very little. And if there was a thing, like, we were always on the same page.
And that's awesome. Let's talk about another name. This is an old buddy of Kurt's. They work together quite a bit. And that's none other than John Cena. So you answered John Cena's open challenge. That's got to be a huge deal. What was it like working with John? And can you just speak about John as a person for us?
Oh, well, I've nothing but good things to say about John. I mean, John is an awesome person, and he has a very high standard for himself. And he's one of those people that doesn't just say how you should do it or say how it should be done. He shows you, he does it every day. He lives it. You know what I mean? Like, there's like, if he tells you to watch all the matches, like, he's sitting there at the monitor watching all the matches. If he, you know what I mean? Like, if he tells you, you should work out, he is there working out early in the morning. You know what I mean? So it's like, yeah, one of those people, which is, somebody I deeply respect. And that's kind of how I try to, you know, do my career. Is like, I just, whatever I would say, I just do it. And if people want to take notice, that's good. And if not, I don't need to, I feel like I don't want to park it all around, you know? So John has always been super honest with, like, critique and everything. And, you know, just super motivating with the way he works out and his work ethic and everything. And then being in the ring with him for that open challenge was awesome because, I mean, he was a legend at that point, and he still, every match, he wants to go out there and prove it. And we talked about that before, like, every match, he's the one said it. I probably had it always kind of in my brain, but he's the one that said that, like, you're only as good as your last match. So that kind of stuck with me because that's, you know, every time you want to walk to the curtain, you want to prove yourself to everybody. And so that's the thing. So with him to have that open challenge and, him, you know, working so hard and having such a fun match with me was absolutely amazing. And then to run it back a couple of weeks later again in Chicago was even better because to me, here's John Cena and you get to share the ring with him and he has so much knowledge. And yeah, it's amazing.
Yeah.
Kurt knows, right?
Like, yeah, yes, I do. I knew he was special the first day he came to WWE.
Yeah.
I just knew he was going to be a huge star. Well, you tore your rotator cuff, preventing you from appearing at WrestleMania 32. Is that your worst injury?
Yes.
You never get injured, do you?
So that's the knock on wood, right?
Yeah.
The only surgery I've ever had was my rotator cuff, which I'm pretty lucky to have no other surgeries. And I did the rehab to a T, like twice a day, everything. It was one of those. It was like now my job is to do rehab, you know? So Yeah, that was the worst injury I've ever had. I was on the shelf for pretty much 4 months. But yeah, luckily, knock on wood, there was nothing else. So I hope we can keep it that way.
4 months. That's it.
4 months. That's it.
You're a beast, man. Wow. That's fast.
It is fast. And one of the things I'm really proud of is the surgery got done by Dr. Dugas in Birmingham. And Kevin Wilk, who did the rehab with me or started it, he actually wanted to take a picture of me having my my arm at 90 degrees because it was, I want to say, whatever the weak marker was, but it was like, to be at 90 degrees angle at that time was like extremely, extremely good. And he was like very happy and proud of that. And I'm like, if he who works with every single athlete in the game, you know, like football, that like everything is happy with the rehab process. Like I'm good. I'm very proud of that. Like, yeah.
You're absolutely right, man.
Yeah.
I tell you what.
Isn't that something like, and Kurt will know, right? It's like everything is competition, right? Like rehab. It's competition because
you know what? It's against yourself. You're competing against yourself. You want to be better. You want to get better.
Yeah.
And you're following everything by the book, and you're even doing extra stuff on the fly. So I know exactly what you're talking about. I did it a million times.
Yep. It's like everything.
You only had to do it once. I did it like 25 times. I've had 25 surgeries.
But that's what I mean. It's like everything is competition. And I think Rollins was hurt at the same time. I think Cena too, but like, I think Cena had his shoulder hurt as well, but Rollins hurt his knee, I think. Yeah, it was his knee. And it was like we were keeping tabs on each other, just like, what are you doing today? Like, you know what I mean? Like, it was one of those. It was like, oh, I just didn't.
Who's going to get back to the ring first?
Oh, yeah. It was one of those. But yeah, like Kurt said, just like you do competition. And yes, it's with other people, but it's mostly with yourself. It's like, okay, what can I do? How can I do it? How can I do it faster?
Well, both of you are superhumans because you're telling me about your rotator cuff. I've known what he's done with his double knee replacements. I mean, I see the guy running around Chicago last week, just a few months after double knee replacements.
Well, just to do them both at the same time is crazy, right?
Yeah, he did that.
Hey, my doctor talked me into it. Really, he did. He told me, just get him out of the way. And so I did.
Is that one
you
of
know
those,
what? Like, the next day I was walking. I was in excruciating pain, but I was walking the next day.
Of course you were. Was it one of those, like, if anybody can do it, you can? And then, of course you did.
He was like, is there a way I can win a gold medal of, like, therapy and coming back from that? That's how
Zara, I put you on that list too, man. Oh, you're a rare breed.
Yeah. I'm telling you, you guys are machines. Guys,
I was reading your book, and it was I just tried to get a hand of any wrestling book I could. And, it was one of those when I don't know, I may be wrong, but it was like, oh, you know, if I had a really good month of training, I gave myself a half day off or something like that. You know what I mean? Like, it was like, so to me, I was always like, when people ask me, like, do you have a cheat day? I'm like, no. Why? Like, it's like one of those is like, no, like, I don't know. Like, it's one of those, like, I may have a meal or something if I'm okay.
Not a whole cheat day. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. You just get used to it. Right. And it's one of those that whenever people ask me, like, what is your motivation or like whatever, I'm like, yeah, you don't want to know because I don't know if it's healthy or not, but like, it's one of those, you know, when what is the other quote? If you're not training, somebody else somewhere is. And if you meet, he'll beat you. So I'm always like, well, I've got to be training, even if you're tired or whatever. If it's scheduled training day, I still can't. I'm like, I have to train. I have to like schedule off days because otherwise I'm just, it's a mental thing that you're just.
You know, it's called OCD.
Yes. You know who helped me with that, actually? Miro, he said in Bulgaria, there's a saying that's essentially the muscle doesn't grow working out. The muscle grows with rest.
he's actually so now, right.
Yeah. So now I'm like, well, it's my day off, you know, like muscles grow with rest. So took me 28 years to learn that, but.
Yeah. Kurt's idea of a cheat day includes an extra slice of tomato with his chicken parts. Yeah. That's where we're at. I've seen him in action. It's insane. Well, listen, guys, I want to pause here and talk to the Kurt Angle Show listeners about IWTV.live. It's an independent wrestling's premier streaming service for live events and video on demand of past events. If you saw Wheeler Yuta versus Daniel Garcia on AEW, check out IWTV Live, as they've had even better matches for the IWTV title. And you can check out the likes of Eddie Kingston, Masato Tanaka, Jonathan Gresham, and more. $10 a month. That's it. IWTV Live offers 20 plus events streamed live each month from top independent wrestling. And just this past week, they had 10 live events. That's a dollar an event. No better value in wrestling streaming today. Also, as an IWTV.live subscriber, you have immediate access to their extensive library of over 13,000 hours of video on demand content from over 300 independent wrestling promotions from around the world, including Beyond Wrestling, Prestige Wrestling, Absolute Intense Wrestling, and H2O. You can watch IWTV Live anytime, anywhere on Roku, Apple TV, and Amazon Fire Stick, including mobile apps for Apple and Android devices. There's no long-term contracts required. Nope. You just go to IWTV Live and subscribe today for just $10 a month. So, Claudio, it feels like you've had some stop and starts when you were in WWE. Was that part of it frustrating for you?
I would be lying if I would say no, but it's also part of life, right? I feel everybody has start and stops, and you can never, you know, it's always ebbs and flows, right? For everybody. And it's just how you handle those ebbs and flows. So to me, that was always key, is like, how can I handle those ebbs and flows and stay at the quality that I want to stay at? And I think that's the key.
Well, I love this question, by the way. One of your most memorable moments in WWE is when you interviewed after being drafted to Raw, and you said you should be on SmackDown because it was more wrestling oriented. What was it about that moment why you said what you said?
I think it, I remember
it is
that.
The wrestling show, to be honest.
Yeah. I remember that. And that's what it was promoted as. And that's what it was set before. And honestly, it was just, that's how I felt in that moment. And there was no script, no nothing. It was just like, hey, can you go in that room and answer the question? And I'm like, I sure can. And so to me, that's how I felt. And that's what I said. So I always felt that that was my strength. And, you know, that's what I'm good at. That's why if you travel internationally, I always thought that one of the helping things for me was that people understood me because they watch me wrestle, not necessarily because they hear me talk, because, you know, in different countries, different languages, they have to dub over promos and this and that. But with me, there was just that connection because they watch me wrestle. They like the swing, they like the uppercut, whatever it may be. But that was our connection. So I felt like that was my strength. I should be on SmackDown.
And hey, that's good. You step up, said how you felt. I want to talk a little bit about Sheamus. You had a best of seven with him that we'll never forget. That was awesome. Then you team with him, you come up with the bar, and that is a hot tag team for a while. Talk about your whole experience with Sheamus, not only wrestling him, the bar, and everything that went with it.
The beauty about the bar was that it was so authentic that when we started with the best of seven, we were co-workers, right? We were friends, but we were not best friends. But then we literally became like brothers and like best friends, and you all saw it before your eyes on TV. And that's what made the bar special. And when we argued, when we talked, when we had fun, that was all just us being us. And I feel like that's why we connected so well with the crowds everywhere, because we just had a blast, and we're still best friends. So, yeah.
Oh, it came across on TV, no doubt about it.
And we were just two guys just beating the hell out of everybody and ourselves. So good times.
Hey, I'm curious, man. Where did the bar name come from?
So it was something where we were taking pictures and we just kind of did the thumbs up for a bit. And then we were like, ah, that's kind of lame. So we just started doing this, like the sideways thumb. And then we were like, I was kind of like, well, that's, I don't want to seem like we're like, you know, like, ah, it's kind of mediocre or whatever. And I was like, and then I don't know how it was, but it was just like, you know, this is the bar and we're above it. And then it just snowballed into one, the other. And we were just like, we were just at the bar. We are the bar. And it's just like that kind of became a thing. And we just rolled with it. And then they just named us the bar. And I'm like, cool, this is awesome. So yeah.
So talk about disappointment. I mean, were you disappointed when they say, hey, we're going to axe the bar and break you two back up again?
Well, like I was kind of disappointed, but, you know, Seamus got hurt at the time and then was going to be on the shelf for a little bit. And, of course I was like, okay, what's next for me? How can I make this work? But you know, it's one of those, again, like you have to make it work and you never know what's going to happen if Seamus comes back, if we going to revisit the bar or if you're not, it's one of, you know, so to me, of course I was sad, but I was, you know, happy that he got to, you know, get better.
Hey, jumping forward, how tough a decision was it to let your contract expire with the WWE?
I kind of felt that it was time to try something new, you know, and to look for a new challenge. So, you know, towards the end, my mind was made up.
Were you not happy with the WWE?
See, like I'm always happy and grateful. Like I was happy and grateful, but I also knew kind of where I was thought of. You know what I mean? So I was just looking for something different at this point, you know, and to me, when I look at AEW, there's so many guys that I want to be in the ring with that I have not necessarily been in the ring with. So many young guys, you just mentioned earlier, Paul, like Wheeler Yuta against Daniel Garcia on Dynamite for the ROH Pure title. Like, those guys, like they're like 24 years old, like kids, it's, yeah. It's insane. Imagine how good they're going to be when they're like 34. Like, so you know good. What I mean? It's
hey,
like,
if they're still healthy.
Yeah. But like, they're
so talented.
There's so many talented people there. There's so many young people there that I was like, this is amazing. You know, like I want to be part of that. I really want to, because, again, you're only as good as your last match. And it's kind of that, like, you need to surround yourself with people that, and I always have, that push you and are better than you. And to me, it was like, I looked at it, I was like, okay, I want to go to AEW and I want to wrestle all those young guys. I want to see if I still got it. Because when people ask me, like, oh, when do you think, you know, it's time for you to retire, to an age, to this and that. It's whenever I get in that ring and I feel like, I lost two steps. You know what I mean? Or like,
that's I never when want, I retired. Yes.
I never want people to think, you know, like, oh man, I wish you would have. I'm like, no, I want to go out when I still can do what I can, you know? So, yeah.
Plus it's cool for those of us that followed your career in Ring of Honor to kind of see you come home and now carrying that world title again. I mean, that's special.
Yes. That was another thing too. It was like when I got the chance to do, you know, to go back to Ring of Honor, that's kind of, that is full circle there.
Yes.
And then hopefully, you know, get Ring of Honor back on TV. Yeah. And then, you know, with AEW, it's just, there's so much wrestling out there. Like you said, all the promotions you listed earlier, you know, it's good to have
New Japan.
It's good to have New Japan. It's good to have a choice.
Yeah,
it's good to have different styles, different products. You know, variety is just spice of life. So why not? Right.
Kurt, did you know that including the both of us and on this show, all three of us, that more than 50 million men in the U.S. suffer from male pattern baldness? There are only two.
I was going to mention that earlier. It was like, we have like, you know, like I have a little bit of hair, you know, Paul has no hair in the beard and Kurt has no beard and no hair. So yeah. We got the full gamut here.
But listen, we're here to help those before they get to where we're at. And that's right. We're here to talk about Keeps today, and they have a special offer. There are only two FDA-approved medications that can prevent hair loss. We're already out of luck, but it can help all of you in a stress-free way to keep your hair. Well, I'm here to tell you how. They have convenient virtual doctor consultations and medications delivered straight to your door every 3 months. You don't have to leave your home, so no weird eye awkward contact with anybody at the doctor's office. They offer 24/7 care and support. And they have a network of medical advisors and prescribers that are there to help you. Oh, it's true. It's damn true, as Kurt says. They have low-cost treatments start at just $10 a month, and Keeps offers generic versions of the two FDA-approved medications to prevent hair loss. It's typically half the cost of pharmacy prices, and it has everything your hair needs delivered straight to your door with discreet packaging. That's right. No weird, awkward stares from the male person either. And they have proven results. Remember, prevention is key. It can take 4 to 6 months. We're not chia pets to see results. So act fast and be patient. When it comes to your hair, you need to save more and spend less. So if you're not a fan of rocking the bald look like Kurt and I are, make sure you do everything you can to hold on to what you have and take action now to prevent hair loss. Go to Keeps. That's KEEPS.com/Kurt to receive your first month of treatment for free. That's KEEPS.com/Kurt to get your first month free. Keeps.com/Kurt. So we already
know it's right here.
I know you like that.
I mean, it's too late for me, like you said, but you know,
that's right. So listen, Claudio, you talked about the AEW and the anticipation and wanting to work with Ring of Honor and be a part of the brand again in New Japan and being able to kind of branch out and have that opportunity. Talk to us a little bit about how the whole AEW deal came together. You took some time off. You had a child, right? Congratulations.
I mean, thank you. I just wanted to take time off and not rush, you know? So to me, I wanted the whole thing to be organic and good. And it did really happen that way, you know, with Brian, unfortunately getting hurt. And then me taking a spot and then, you know, being part of the Blackpool Combat Club, wrestling Zack Sabre Jr., being in the Blood and Guts, it just fit. And a lot of things in life is the best if it happens organically, you know, and that's what it was, you know. So to me, I was extremely happy in how it happened, because it also showed that, to me, my decision was right. You know, when you make a decision and then you just sit at home for a bit and you're like, you know, not second guessing, but it's the usual, like, will the fans still remember me? Are they going to be excited? That whole thing. And then the reaction I got in Chicago was amazing. And, you know, like the way I was welcomed by the AEW fans and everybody else, it was amazing. Couldn't have wished for anything better. And then the chances I had to have the kind of matches that I had with the people I've been in the ring with, that's a dream come true. It's just wrestling and I'm having fun and it's great.
Yeah. Claudio, listen, you're the Ring of Honor world champion. Obviously, you're in AEW. There's that AEW world championship that's still out there. And I asked this question knowing that. But is there anything else you feel you have left to achieve in the business? I'm sure you're eyeing that title one day, right?
Of course. I always said that. I said in WWE, I'm going to say it here in AEW. If I'd be in AEW, not wanting the AEW world title, I shouldn't be there. You know, it's like that's what you want. That's what I'm working towards. That's the goal, right? Like I want to be the best. And even, you know, like there's a lot of people who want to be the best. There's a lot of people who think they're the best. There's a lot of people that I think are better or really good. But if you have that title, that's kind of the proof to the world that you are the number one. And, you know, with just alone in the Blackpool Combat Club with Brian Danielson and John Moxley, and even Wheeler Yuta, it's like, those are three guys that are really good. And those are three guys that want that title as well. So there's a lot of competition, but that's also what you need to push yourself and to keep you going. And that's part of the fun, right? And then you have William Regal in your ear to just giving, you know, so
what a group.
Like I said before, like the amount of talent is staggering, and that's motivating. And of course I want to be champion. Yeah.
Well, speaking of talent there, is there one wrestler in AEW you haven't wrestled yet that you're looking forward to?
Oh, that's such a hard question because yes, there are so many. It's always really hard to just pick one, you know.
Come on, I mean? Pick one, man.
Oh, come on. Okay, so I'm just going to pick a bunch because, so for example,
you sound like Kurt answering this question.
Can you give me some top five?
I'm Swiss. Swiss. Right. I'm very neutral. So
it's how about the top five, Cesaro?
Top five. Okay, so we just talked about that. So Danny Garcia and Wheeler Yuta are definitely on my list. Wheeler Yuta obviously less since we're in the Blackpool Combat Club together. So maybe teaming up with him, and then. You know, there's the Lucha Brothers. They're both amazing. I was in the ladder match with them. And then there's, you know, Andrade and Rush, who are both amazing stars. I haven't wrestled the Young Bucks and Kenny Omega in a long time. So, of course, I think that would be on a lot of people's lists. I haven't had a match with Chris Jericho that was like, I've wrestled him a lot on live events and a couple of maybe one or two TV matches, but they were not very long. So that would be something else. There's a bunch of the younger kids that definitely want to get in the ring with. Dante Martin, for example, I think.
What about the big man, Wardlow?
Wardlow. Oh, man. Wardlow is so big. I have to walk sideways when I see him in the hallway. So otherwise we don't really fit. I can just go through the whole roster.
I asked you to give me five. You gave me 13.
I gave you 13. I can go on. You know, there's like I said, there's so much talent there. And there's, for example, okay, I'm just gonna keep going, but like for example, Orange Cassidy, I've known him for such a long, long time. I think that would be fun to be in the ring with him.
I wouldn't mind seeing Miro.
I know Miro. That would be. I mean, the transformation that he made.
Yes.
Is absolutely awesome. The Redeemer. You know, that's just amazing. Who else was I going to say? There's just every time I walk in the locker room, I'm like, okay, there's another bunch. MJF, there's John Silver, who a lot of people say is kind of like the mini me, you know what I mean? So there's so many people there that I want to be in the ring with. And that's one of the big reasons why I picked AW. And sorry, Kurt, I didn't give you one. I think I gave you almost the whole roster here.
Well, it sounds like to me that AEW has the best roster in the world.
I mean,
that's what it sounds
it's
like.
It's loaded.
I mean, it is a very deep, very loaded roster. So
there you go.
Yeah.
Well, listen, Claudio, it's been our pleasure to have you on. Is there anything that you want to plug or put over before we let you go today?
Listen to the Kurt Angle podcast. It's an absolute blast.
I didn't tell him to say that, Paul.
Please, you know, like, watch AW Dynamite and Rampage.
Yeah.
You know, AW on YouTube, AW Dark. There's always some gems. I just defended my Ring of Honor title on AW Dark, which was my request, because I just want to wrestle and defend the title, because
that's awesome.
That's the fun part, you know? And I had a blast doing so. So yeah, just watch AW, watch wrestling in general, and just have fun watching it. I see a lot of people argue, and a lot of people say, you know, it's like, it's ice cream, right? You asked before about, like, you know, what I thought when Vince said, if I have to, if I, like, of course I think I do, right? Because everybody thinks they do. You have to believe that to be successful. It's flavors of ice cream, right? If your favorite flavor of ice cream is different than mine, there's no need for us to argue. It's just like, okay, you watch yours and have a blast. I watch mine, have a blast. We can talk about it like humans, you know, we can argue a bit, but at the end, we're still friends, you know? And so the more flavors there are, the better for everyone.
Yeah, Kurt doesn't eat ice cream. So, Kurt, in your world, it'll be flavor of chicken snacks. Everybody has a different flavor they like, you know? So, you know.
I don't really eat ice cream either, but I figured that's the best.
That's right, Claudio.
That's the best. That's the best. What is it called?
Analogy.
There we go.
Claudio, listen, I look forward to seeing you. I think I'm going to be there for the show in Philadelphia in September. Thank you enough for being here, man. Right, Kurt?
Yeah, Claudio, congratulations on being the Ring of Honor World Champion, and I wish you continued success, my friend. I love you, man.
Appreciate you. Thank you, Kurt. I love you. Thank you for being an inspiration and being awesome, and just thanks for being you. You're like the if you would make a prototype of a professional wrestler, what would it should be? That'd be you. So
thank you,
Kurt.
That means a lot coming from you.
Thank you. I can't wait to see you again. We'll chat more.
You too, man.
All right, awesome. Claudio.
Thanks, guys.
Buddy. Thank you so much. Have a great rest of your day.
Bye.
Wow, that was a lot of fun, Kurt. I know I enjoyed myself talking to Claudio there.
Yeah, that was a lot of fun. The one thing about him that surprised me, he's very articulate.
Yeah.
He's really humble. Explained everything, every question, just really, really clear and precise. And I love that about him. And you know what? He has not been like known as the best talker in the business. He can carry himself.
Yeah.
But what he does in that ring is nothing short of incredible. And this guy deserves any world championship. That's how good he is. Why do you think the fans love him so much?
I know, dude.
No, the Cesaro section. That proves what he should be in the wrestling business. He should be one of the very, very top guys.
And you can tell, you can feel his humbleness. He's not a guy that wants to rattle cages or get into the, hey, well, they did me wrong here. They did me wrong there. No, it's that wasn't the cards I was dealt, was how he answered everything. And I chose to
never put the blame on anybody.
No, so much humility in those responses. Have a ton of respect for that guy. And so glad we got him on the Kurt Angle Show. So that was a lot of fun. Kurt, next week, we're talking about Triple H with Stephanie McMahon Helmsley defeating Kurt Angle in a no DQ match. It's Unforgiven. Mick Foley's a special guest for Unforgiven 2000. You ready for that one?
Yeah, Stephanie McMahon and Triple H again. Yes.
I know. We can't get enough of them. And, buddy, they're all over the WWE, so it's perfect timing for all of that. So
yes, it is.
We'll be back with that next week. But before we close it down, our most fun part of the show most of the times is it's time for physicallyfit.com and your chicken snacks.
Chicken snacks and snack smart crispy protein bites. Go to physicallyfit.com. There are 11 different flavors. They're all incredible. We have buffalo wing and blue cheese. We have cinnamon swirl.
Sriracha.
Sriracha. Yeah, so many different flavors. Honey mustard. You go on physicallyfit.com, order yours. And if you use the code ANGLEPOD, you get 20% off. And you become a lifetime member on the website. If you sign up for that, you get 20% off the rest of your life.
Guys, there's no other demonstration you need to see about chicken snacks than just to watch Kurt Angle on Raw, buddy. I mean, the man was shredded like I've never seen him before. So there
you go. That's the chicken snacks diet.
That's right, baby. Let's talk about KurtAngleBrand.com. Kurt, I got a question for you. Are people able to buy replica gold medals on that site? I don't
know. No, not this particular time. And you know what? I don't know how these replica gold medal companies are able to do this.
Yeah.
Because you're not allowed to do that. You can't duplicate a real gold medal. And that's what they did. They used everything. Every symbol on there is the same as the Olympics. I'm surprised the Olympic Committee hasn't said anything about it, because the only reason why I'm not carrying them is because I know I can't.
Yeah,
like, I'll get caught and I'll get fined.
I bring that up because a guy at Top Guy Weekend, who's a fan, listens to our show, great guy, comes up to me, says, "Hey, I have a gift for you. I saw you have a Kurt Angle shelf, and you're missing a Kurt Angle Olympic gold medal off that shelf." And he gifted me one with a stand and the whole thing, man.
That's awesome.
I have it right there by the belt now.
I see it.
Isn't that cool? So, but yeah, check
you
out.
You know what? That's exactly like the real one.
Yeah.
Everything about it, every detail.
I was touched. It was awesome. But listen, Kurt Angle brands, where you can go for t-shirts, milk cartons, cameo videos. Listen, Kurt does so many cameos. He's entertaining as hell. You think he's entertaining in some of these clips we watch week to week? I've been around for him recording these cameo videos. He'll do just about anything you ask him.
I'll do it anywhere.
That's right. He'll do them in the car ride. It don't matter. In a baseball field, he's going to take care of your requests. You can find it all, KurtAngleBrand.com, and he'll take care of it there. Speaking of what's on my shelf, there's one more of those beautiful Kurt Angle belts left, Wildcat belts. All you need to do is go to WildcatBelts.com. One left. You have one left. Shot.
There it
That's
is.
Right.
Do you have a video?
Kurt's, if you're watching on YouTube, you can see it now. Kurt's showing off his on that beautiful blue leather. Mine's on black leather, but I'm telling you, Kurt, first class craftsmanship. You've held many a belt in your time. And that one is pristine.
Not just because it's a Kurt Angle belt either. It's my favorite. I love it, man. The detailing is great. The leather is incredible. It's just a great display of a title belt.
If you're a collector and you love all things Kurt Angle, this is the jewel for your Kurt Angle collection, the centerpiece, if you will. So with that, man, Kurt, another fun episode this week. Always enjoy my hour plus that I get to spend with you. Great guest. And we'll do it again next week. Thank you so much for this episode, buddy.
Thank you, Paul. Love you, man.
Love you. And on behalf of your Olympic hero, Kurt Angle, this is Paul Bromwell. We'll see you right back here next week on The Kurt Angle Show.
When you have sports mixed with your pop culture, along with humor and celebrity interviews, your earbuds are enjoying the Rich Eisen Show.
Kevin Millar, we're all paying rent in Ohtani's world, right?
And the Dodgers world. Game is healthy. Game is good. And, you know, I get asked a lot, is that good for baseball? Yeah, it's good for baseball. This is definitely the team to beat, because that should be your next correction, Richie, is this World Series a bust for the Dodgers and Dave Roberts?
Hell yeah.
Search for the Rich Eisen Show on YouTube or wherever you listen.